Now, another dispatch from France, from commentator David Sedaris, who lives in Paris. He moved there 2 years ago, and one of the things he has reluctantly learned about is the French healthcare system.
Before coming to France, my worst nightmare was that something would go wrong and I'd be forced to visit a doctor. Call me squeamish, but I didn't want to couple extreme physical pain with what even the kindest doctor would identify as a considerable language barrier. On the best of days, I talk not unlike Yoda, the donkey-eared gnome from the Dagobah system. Were someone to needlessly remove both of my kidneys, chances are that I would have accidentally instructed him to do so. I'd have no one but myself to blame, and that bothered me. Another fear had to do with money. Shortly after moving into my Paris apartment, I noticed a leak in the bathroom and phoned the landlord to say, "The toilet! She cry much of the time." A plumber was sent, and after working for all of half an hour, he charged me $1,000 for a replacement. In New York, I could have gotten that same toilet for $300. Based on the price of a relatively minor plumbing problem, I figured that a Paris doctor would cost at least three times the price of a New York doctor. In order to pay the bill, I'd have to write a check, which would involve having to correctly spell a series of very high numbers. My fear of tumors is nothing compared to my fear of spelling, and so I made it a point to avoid plagues and try to remain as healthy as possible. Given all my assorted little phobias, it is unfortunate that my move to France coincided with what appears to be the systematic physical breakdown of my body. It started with my teeth, which I'd always hoped might eventually improve on their own. In my mind, I'd just been to the dentist, but in fact, a child born on the day of my last checkup would now be 13 years old, with bleeding gums of his own. A French friend recommended a Dr. Jesmar, and when I could no longer manage to bite into a banana, I went. The bad news involved a bloody hook, and the realization that the only thing holding my mouth together had been 2 inches of plaque. The good news was that my 45 minutes in the chair wound up costing the equivalent of only $40, which is a great price for close to an hour of unrelenting pain. The first time I visited Dr. Jesmar, my boyfriend Hugh went along and did most of the talking. The second and third time I went alone and found that I did a fine job all by myself. I told her that when I had 15 years I had worn a fence in my mouth. And then I continued, effectively asking such hard-hitting questions as, "If a tooth budges today, can he live in my mouth tomorrow?" My visits to the dentist left me confident enough to make an appointment with an eye doctor. "From the time I had 5 years, I have worn of myself some glasses," I told him. "Then, when I had 20 years, I said, 'Enough of this. I am tired of something always living on my nose.'" The doctor looked at his watch as I nattered on, explaining that after many years of lazy eyes, I was now ready to enter the door of good seeing. "How do you think about that now?" I got a new pair of glasses and am still adjusting to all the subtle things I'd been missing all those years. Things like the expressions of disgust that traditionally cross people's faces when they discover that they're talking to an idiot. When I'd finished with the eye doctor, I made an appointment at a hospital specializing in dermatology and another word I couldn't quite make out, a word that turned out to mean venereal disease. I went hoping to have a harmless growth removed from beneath my left eye and was confused when the doctor instructed me to remove all of my clothing and lie naked upon the table. "Can we say goodbye to the little red spot who lives on my face?" I asked. The doctor removed a mole from my leg and handed me a bill for $25. "Can we please say goodbye to the red spot who lives on my face?" I asked the receptionist. But it turned out that my next medical procedure was an unscheduled trip to the emergency room, where I learned the word for kidney stone. The one time I'd gone to a New York emergency room, I'd waited for close to 3 hours. Here in Paris, there was no line at all, and 5 minutes after my arrival, I was in a private room, enjoying an IV of glucose and Demerol. An attractive male nurse wrapped me in a blanket and wheeled me down to the radiology lab, where, floating high above the pain, I watched an episode of Charlie's Angels dubbed into French. When, at my request, the handsome male nurse brought me an ashtray, I knew that there was no real reason to ever return to the United States. My emergency room visit wound up costing me $100. Were I a French citizen, the government would reimburse all the money I've spent on my eyes, teeth, face, and kidneys. At no point during my 4-hour stay did anyone ask if I had health insurance. I was instructed to sign nothing, and payment was not discussed until I brought it up myself. "Pay?" the doctor said. "Oh, you can pay the next time you come in. Or I guess we could send you a bill." I asked if she had my address, and she said, "No, but you can give it to me if you want." It was as if everyone was on Demerol.
David Sedaris writes about adjusting to life in France in his latest book, Me Talk Pretty One Day,